Welcome to Trauma Informed Parenting. I'm your host, Kathleen Guire. Each week, we dive in and learn about the effects of trauma and navigating neurodiversity. I'm a mother of seven, four through adoption, former National Parent of the Year, author, teacher, and speaker who is obsessed with helping others become trauma-informed. I know what it's like to raise kiddos with a trauma history and neurodiversity. I used to feel as if I were the only one struggling, and because I felt that way, I isolated myself. I don't want you to feel alone in your parenting journey. So grab a cup of coffee and join me for Trauma-Informed Parenting, a coffee break podcast. If you find parenting your kiddo with a trauma history or neurodiversity, or both, overwhelming, then Trauma-Informed Parenting 101 is the mini course for you. Parenting kiddos with a capital letter syndrome and or trauma history doesn't have to be so difficult. It's all about having the right tools. You can get your parenting mojo back after the diagnosis of a neurodiversity or capital letter syndrome, as I like to call them, FASD, SPD, ADHD, autism, RAD, etc. You can learn how to parent in a non-traditional way and meet your child where he or she is. In this five-module course, you'll learn what works and what doesn't work. You'll have science-backed parenting tools that work. You will reframe your parenting beliefs, begin to make sense of and peace with your past, learn the science of trauma and its effects on your kiddos, learn why traditional parenting doesn't work and what does work, and the end result, more peace in your home. The problem with learning a new parenting style, there's just so much information out there. You don't know where to turn. Reading a few quotes on Instagram or watching TikTok isn't cutting it. You need answers in an organized approach that works for you. What if there was a way to make sure you got it right in five short modules? What if you could parent your kiddos the way they need to be parented and have some more peace in your home? If you want that, then sign up for the Trauma-Informed Parenting 101 course today on traumainformedparenting.com. Here's one parent's feedback. Kathleen has equipped me with new ways to parent my children. Not only did she provide me with the tools I would need to parent children from hard places, but she also backed up those tools with science on why they are effective. Parenting is difficult and stressful and overwhelming under the best of circumstances. Parenting a child with a capital letter syndrome or a child from a hard place is all of those things. And on top of all that, it can be isolating. Through her class, Kathleen has helped me to look at my child's behaviors in a new way. She has helped me to change the way I parent and has shown me that I'm not alone. Because of Kathleen's influence, I have more success to celebrate in the journey of parenting my children. So if you're interested in that, sign up for Trauma-Informed Parenting 101 on traumainformedparenting.com. One of the most discouraging things as a parent is being stuck in a vicious cycle of chaos at home and not being able to escape. One of the most frustrating things as an educator is trying to help parents break cycles, find hope and healing, and them not being able to realize that their kiddos or they have experienced trauma. Today, I'd like to talk about three roadblocks that keep us from investing in a trauma-informed education. Now, this is why it matters. What you bring to the parent-child relationship matters. I thought my past would automatically help me empathize and understand my kids from hard places. It was a book I could keep safely on the shelf. I could just say, been there, done that, as if that covered it all. There was one huge problem with that sort of thinking. My triggers and their triggers were often the same. I struggled with being an adult in the situation when all chaos broke loose. I wanted the right to react. Plus, I often didn't know what my triggers were, and they, meaning my children, didn't know what theirs were. It was a recipe for disaster. Knowing all the scientific facts in the world couldn't bring peace in that situation. And that is an excerpt from my book, How to Have Peace When Your Kids Are in Chaos, which, if that's something that you're struggling with, if your house is constantly in chaos, I highly recommend getting a copy of that book. You can get it on Amazon and other booksellers, and I will have it linked in the show notes as well. One of the most discouraging things as a parent is being stuck in a vicious cycle of chaos and not being able to escape. One of the most frustrating things as an educator is trying to help parents break cycles, find hope and healing, and they don't even realize that their kiddos have experienced trauma, or that they have experienced trauma. And one of the reasons for that is normalizing trauma. And I have a whole podcast episode on that I will link in the show notes. But I will be the first to say that in my early days of parenting, I didn't know what trauma was. Neither did I know that my bio kids had experienced it in some way, shape, or form. And when we adopted a sibling group of four, I was informed of all the trauma the kiddos had experienced in lengthy meetings with the psychologists. What that meeting gave me was the information that my kiddos had experienced trauma in their childhood. What I didn't know yet was how it affected them. So maybe you're there. Maybe you're like, yeah, you know, my kiddos came home, in air quotes, through foster care or adoption, so I know that some things happened to them in their early life. But what I learned later, and it's one of the major reasons I run this site and this podcast, is what I'd like to talk about today, is why parents don't invest in a trauma-informed education and remove some roadblocks, because I had so many roadblocks. It was like, that happened to them in the past, but it was affecting them there now. And we need to know what these roadblocks are, because once these roadblocks are removed, then we can find some tools that help us heal and connect with our kiddos. So I want to talk about some roadblocks that keep us from a trauma-informed education. Listen, no judgment here. I was there. These roadblocks, these were all my roadblocks too. This is for informational purposes. This is for you to figure out where you are and if this is something that you need to invest in, a trauma-informed education. Okay, number one, we don't know what trauma is. I get it. That used to be me. Parents may think that trauma means something major, such as a house fire, a sexual crime, or fill in the blank, and those are definitely big T traumas. But there are other kinds of trauma, and when you don't know what something is, you aren't likely to invest in treating it. When you understand what trauma is, then you can begin to learn how it affects your children and you. So what is trauma? I'm going to stop here for a few minutes and go over some risk factors. There are 6 primary risk factors. These are from The Connected Child, and they characterize children who have experienced trauma. Number 1, prenatal stress and harm. So this is before the baby is born. This is in utero. Over 80% of children adopted or going through foster care have been exposed to drugs or alcohol in utero. And also, maybe something you never thought about is a woman who is highly stressed during pregnancy can have elevated levels of cortisol. Cortisol crosses the placenta, alters the brain structure, and damages the immune system as well as other things. That's just one example of prenatal stress. I just want to move through this list quickly. So if you're thinking about that, like if there was some prenatal stress or harm. Number 2, a difficult labor or birth. Often people don't think of that as a trauma. It is a trauma for mom and baby. Number 3, early medical trauma. For instance, if the baby is born prematurely and there's a hospital stay or there are surgeries, all of these things have happened in my family, so I know what that's like. So the first 3 are often ones that people do not consider. Like it's not even on their radar. Like that's not trauma. It is trauma. And then number 4 is the big T trauma, which I talked about, that most people think those are trauma and that's it. Maybe a house fire, a natural disaster, an auto accident, the death of a parent, or fill in the blank with some big T trauma. And then number 5 is neglect to a child. Unfortunately, neglect teaches the belief you don't exist. And then number 6, abuse. And abuse teaches the belief you don't matter. So if you think about all 6 of those things, and those are just 6 primary risk factors, there are other things too, but that's just like a skeletal list to begin to consider. You can find more information by listening to, I have another podcast linked in the show notes. But maybe you're listening to that list and you're like, well, I was neglected as a child. I didn't think that was trauma. It's trauma. Or I was abused as a child and I turned out okay. Well, think about what you believe about yourself. Do you struggle with believing you're valuable? That your voice is heard? That you matter? And then think about your children. Do they struggle with that? Are they always doing something so that you're paying attention to them because they feel like they don't exist, not because you never pay attention to them? But if they have that belief system that I don't matter, I don't exist, I'm going to make sure that you know I matter and that I exist. And that gets into mistaken goals. And I'll try to remember to link something about that in there too. I'm going to read you a quote from The Body Keeps the Score. Because traumatized people often have trouble sensing what is going on in their bodies, they lack a nuanced response to frustration. They either react to stress by becoming spaced out or with excessive anger. So look at yourself through that lens. Is that you? Do you check out? I'm the checkout person. Or do you react with excessive anger? So maybe there was trauma in your past and you don't know. You didn't realize that. And you're listening to me and you're like, wait a minute. I had some of those risk factors and I react either by spacing out, just shutting down, freezing, or with this excessive anger. Fight. That's fight. All right, moving on. Number 2. We don't know how trauma affects our kiddos and us. This not knowing is what keeps us and them stuck in a cycle of chaos. I've been there. We correct more and connect less and wonder why we signed up for this parenting gig in the first place. It's not what we expected. And if we adopted kids, we often isolate because we don't want anyone to know what's going on at home. But I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. First, let me cover very briefly what trauma affects. I'm going to do a review. There's a whole article on the 5 B's. That's what this is called. Plus, I have some resource PDFs, one on each one of these 5 B's affected by trauma. These are not bumblebees. They each start with the letter B. If you're wondering, what is she talking about? Bees. Number one, the brain. The brain is affected by trauma. This is where we see altered brain development in overactive amygdala. And what that means is, it's as if the child is being chased by a bear all the time. Or maybe that's you. You feel anxious all the time. Your cortisol levels are through the roof. And the thing that we have to remember is our experiences shape the connections in our brain. So if we had a lot of trauma in our experience, then we have wired to be like this, fearful all the time. It's changed our brain. There is hope. There is hope. The Hebbian principle says what fires together, wires together. That means that we can change our brain chemistry by changing the things our children are experiencing. Now, since this is, I'm just going over this briefly, I can't get into that too much. Number two, biology. Neurochemistry is altered by trauma. Hormones are altered by trauma. Serotonin levels are often low because of trauma. Dopamine can either be low or high. And some young children in this study that they did that were in a Romanian orphanage had the adrenals of a 90-year-old. So yeah, you know, trauma does affect us. It's like it can wear out your adrenal glands. And honestly, I see that very often in the population now. I've had it myself. I had to be on cortisol for 5 years because my adrenals just said, I'm done. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not going to share any of the stories in my family, but I've seen it, and it's common anymore. So trauma will affect the biology. Then number three, the body. What we can see in the body are learning delays, developmental delays, sensory issues. And then number four, beliefs. Now, what's one firmly held belief that you have? Stop for a minute and think about that. What would it take you to change that belief? Kids with trauma histories often believe people don't love me because I'm not worthy or because I'm unlovable. If I was worth something, people wouldn't treat me this way. Everyone leaves. So yes, trauma affects our belief system. And then number five, behavior. That's the one that I hear about the most. We call it regulation. A child with a trauma history or a neurodiversity has difficulty regulating because he has not had the natural progression of regulation followed by co-regulation. Now, I got to point this out before I move any further. Remember, a behavior is a need, however inappropriately it is expressed. So these kiddos can get stuck in this fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And if you've experienced trauma yourself, you can get stuck there. Okay, I'm throwing a lot of information out there. So if this is all new to you, I know it can be super overwhelming. I get it. So I have created a handy reference guide for you, and I will link it in the show notes. It's Trauma-Informed Parenting Quick References. How's that for an original name? So you can get this and you can read over all of these things that I've been talking about. And you can have it, you know, put it in your desk or on your refrigerator for you to read and study, because you're not going to get it just by listening to this one time. You might even want to listen to this podcast more than once. But having that reference guide will help you begin to absorb the information. And here's another quote from The Body Keeps the Score. Traumatized people chronically feel unsafe inside their bodies. The past is alive in the form of gnawing interior discomfort. So think about that. If you are, like, if you have these roadblocks right now, and you're listening to me and you're thinking, maybe I have experienced trauma. Maybe my kiddos have experienced trauma. And maybe for you personally, you feel unsafe inside your own skin. And that past is making you feel uncomfortable all the time. You feel anxious all the time. Your body can never settle down. You're ruminating in your mind all the time. And maybe your kiddo is too. You just can't see inside of their brain. That's why we need to remove these roadblocks. And then we have to decide, what approach am I going to take to this trauma? There are several different approaches that you can take to your trauma. Before I move on to my last reason that parents don't invest in a trauma-informed education, or my last roadblock, I want to touch on three approaches I've seen in my many years of helping parents and my own experience, being honest here. Number one, this one's very common. Bury your head in the sand. Pretend the trauma didn't happen and stay stuck in the cycle. I call this normalizing the trauma. And if this is you, do not beat yourself up. It's pretty common. This is where generational trauma gets a foothold. But I have a whole episode on generational trauma that you can listen to, and actually a couple, and I'll make sure I link those in the show notes. So if that's you and you're like, I've been burying my head in the sand, I don't want to do this approach anymore, I want to face it, I want to deal with it, okay, listen to those episodes. Number two, here's another one I did. The pathological approach. You take the ACEs quiz, you review the risk factors, the 5 B's affected by trauma, and anything else scientific you can get your hands on. I stayed so stuck in this learning the science phase. It's good to learn the science, but knowing all the scientific facts in the world won't help you connect with your child. You have to actually begin to make the changes. You actually have to reframe your beliefs, make sense of and peace with your past, and then apply the science to yourself and your children. Get some new tools in your tool belt. Okay, I'm meandering right now. Number three, this is a biggie too. Stay stuck in the guilt trap, which is really my last point. I'll cover it separately in a moment. Guilt-led parenting leads to making decisions based on emotions. I am going to say that again because I think it is super important. And we see that a lot in our culture today. Guilt-led parenting leads to making decisions based on emotions. It's good to have emotions. We need to acknowledge our emotions, but we can't parent solely based on our emotions. When the emotion of guilt or shame is in the driver's seat, the kids have control and the home is in utter chaos. Man, that's a whole podcast topic right there I should do. All right, number three, moving on. to my third roadblock. We don't invest in a trauma-informed education because we feel ashamed or guilty. If you think that this point applies only to parents who have caused actual trauma, then think again. If you're familiar with mom guilt or dad guilt, then you know we can wield it for pretty much anything. Kiddo born with an immune system issue, cue the guilt. Or here's another one. Mom has immune system issue. Child has immune system issue. Grandchild has same issue. Cue the guilt. So there you go. Here's another interesting one. We have the amazing ability to feel guilty for something that didn't happen on our watch. Let me explain. When we adopted our four kiddos, I used to cry while they were eating dinner. Why? Because I thought of all the times that they didn't get to eat a healthy, nutritious meal. How insane is that? Like, we can really pull that guilt out of our pocket. But it's dangerous, because the truth is guilt and shame impede healing. You can't learn something new if you are wallowing in those emotions that keep you stuck. It's like the math student who doesn't understand the problem, but he's so upset that he can't learn. He breaks the pencil, yells at mom, true story. So the effects of the emotions are stopping the child from moving forward and learning. When guilt and shame are impeding your pursuit of a trauma-informed education, you're literally stuck in the pencil-breaking stage forever. Let me finish by saying, everyone has experienced trauma at some level. You're not a bad parent if you admit this. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed. You're a good parent if you admit this. If you acknowledge the trauma, learn the science, but don't stay stuck there, and start applying some more tips and tools in your parenting, then you'll have some more peace in your home. And if you're not sure where to start, grab the reference guides I mentioned earlier, the Trauma-Informed Parenting Reference Guides, my unique title there, and then move on to the Connect instead of Correct guide. So you can learn the three steps to a deeper, more connected relationship with your child. It is a free download. It is on the website, so you can find it in the show notes, or you can go to my resources page on traumainformedparenting.com. So I'm going to finish up here. My conclusion: three reasons we don't invest in a trauma-informed education. These are our roadblocks. We need to remove these roadblocks. We don't know what trauma is. When you don't know what something is, you aren't likely to invest in treating it. That really comes to everything. And it can come to, you know, I'll just try to give you, I love word pictures and examples. Like, if you own a house and there you don't have gutters and the water is dripping down. I'm just thinking of when we bought our current home, there were no gutters. So the water was just dripping down, and likely causing some damage in the foundation. But we didn't know, or the previous owners ignored it. That was their roadblock. So they weren't treating it. They were not checking the foundation. They weren't putting gutters up, which was one of the first things that we did when we bought this house. But if you don't know something, you're not going to invest in treating it, right? So if you're listening now and you're like, wow, I didn't know we needed gutters, that's not the point. But you know what I mean. Sometimes making that association with something that is not exactly what we're talking about helps us understand what we're talking about. When you understand what trauma is, then you can begin to learn how it affects you and your children. And then the second roadblock, we don't know how trauma affects our kiddos. So when we learn what trauma is and we know that there are effects, we need to know what those effects are. And this not knowing what is being affected keeps them stuck in a cycle of chaos and us stuck in a cycle of chaos. I've been there. We correct more and connect less and wonder why we signed up for this parenting gig in the first place, which is exactly why I entitled this free resource, Connect Instead of Correct. So are you ready to connect more and correct less? So get that guide. It's in the show notes. The third roadblock, we don't invest in a trauma-informed education because we feel ashamed or guilty. Here's the truth. Guilt and shame impede healing. They're a roadblock. They stop it. You never move forward. You're going to be stuck in the breaking your pencil phase of your life forever. But you have to leave that behind. You can't learn something new if you are wallowing in these emotions that keep you stuck. So, are you ready to get started on your trauma-informed education? If you are, then grab these resources I talked about. The Connect Instead of Correct guide, which I have linked in the show notes, and also grab your reference guides, the Trauma-Informed Parenting Quick References. That's what I called them. So thanks for joining me today, and I will see you next week. Bye. Thanks for listening to Trauma-Informed Parenting. Make sure you rate and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. New episodes are dropping each Wednesday, so brew that coffee, pull up a chair, and let's learn together. If you're looking for some more encouragement as well as resources, hop on over to traumainformedparenting.com.